Guys, welcome to The Pulse. We've got another fun show talking to people doing big things. I'm not sure, though. I might be mad at this guy because there's a handful of people out there who take all the jobs. It's like it's Steve Harvey, it's Nick Cannon, it's Headcrack. You know him from Dish Nation, from radio, hip hop artist, been in a couple movies. How are you, sir?
Yo, I'm doing fantastic, man. How about yourself, brother?
I'm good, but listen, that's the thing I was saying. Much success. I appreciate everything you're doing, but y'all take all the jobs, man. You guys make it hard out here for a brother.
Well, I will say that I recently gave up one of those jobs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like I had to do a Kaepernick and take a knee from radio for a minute. But, you know, between point A and point B, I may make a return at some point or another. And I'm like, you know, like sowing my other creative oats. Okay. Which, you know, I always love the seasons when you get to create and do different things. Like, you know, like last year I was training to fight, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, you know, and that was fun and within itself too. And then, you know, so like now this allows me to put more time into music and stuff like that and working on like acting and also, you know, hitting the comedy circuit as well.
I read about you leaving the radio show. Well, not your show. Like you created the show. How are you not going to be on your own show?
Here's the thing, man. Like, you know, radio is a very interesting thing. You know what I'm saying?
You have radio a lot of... for 15 years. I hear you.
Okay, so you know about the politics that go on behind the scenes and, you know, the secret hands that move certain things. And then it gets to a point where you have to be like, you know, well, wait a daggone minute. You know what I mean? And decide whether or not you want to, like, you know, come and torch the place or just be like, you know, tip your hat and walk out, you know, slowly and, you know, and still have a good public standing. And I did the latter.
Okay. And the radio show was kind of the foundation for Dish Nation. So all good still with Dish Nation.
Oh, no, the Dish Nation is Gucci. You know what I'm saying? It's like the side chick that treats you better. But
valid point.
No, but the crazy thing is, like, so, you know, it was the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, actually, that created the environment for Dish Nation to happen. And, you know, and when we started on that Dish Nation journey almost 12 years ago, it was on the strength of the Ricky Smiley Morning Show and all the players that was involved in that. But then it continued to evolve into something that didn't necessarily have to be connected to radio. Which, you know, like, you know, definitely worked out for a lot of people because, you know, Portia was on the show. Portia didn't have a radio show. But, you know, we treated her, you know, just like she was part of the radio family. Yeah. And even now, like, as we've evolved, we got Tamar, we got Jesse Wu, we got my man Tanner Thompson. And it's evolved from what it began and, you know, versus what it is now. So that's kind of cool.
How did you get into all this? Like I said, I did the radio thing. We're going to come back to Dish Nation because that's amazing that you're 12 years in. You're one of the few, maybe the only, you know, who's made it through this, all the different seasons and continuing having that level of success. But how'd you get started in radio to get this going?
So let's rewind all the way back to 2000, right? And there was a station that came to town in Dallas because I used to live there. I'm originally from New York, but then like most New Yorkers, we found some trouble and had to go down south. I went further south than most people that went all the way to Dallas, right? And there was a station came to town called 97.9 The Beat. They didn't have any DJs. So me and my homie Kino, who's you know, one third of the rap group that I'm in called the Bodega Brothers, we was like, yo, let's make a tape and turn it in. Let's see, you know, let's get this radio show. Maybe we could do overnights. Because at that time I was working for a record company. So I just wanted more opportunities to like not only like put the shine and spotlight on other artists, but like I also just was intrigued by that radio lifestyle. So we turned in a tape. Not only did they not want us to do overnights, they wanted us to do the 6 to 10 show like prime time, PM. So we became their night show, eventually became the number one night show in the city. And between point A and point B, they needed to build a new morning show. And then he took me from the night show, paired me with Ricky Smiley. And then after that, man, we was going to the moon.
The rest is history, as they say.
Yes, sir.
Now, you kind of glossed over so many different things. You glossed over the Bodega Brothers. So through this whole period of time, you've been hip-hop artist also.
The whole time. I feel like radio hurt my music career more than not being on radio did, you know? Because, so when I was doing nights, we worked Monday through Saturday, 6 days a week. Yeah. And now when I think about it, like, yo, that was kind of criminal. Because they would really operate in a space where, like, you should just be happy to be on the radio. And, you know, but then again, you also look, well, I'm only working 4 hours a day, and like 4.5 if you count the prep time. So it seemed like a sweet deal to someone who was like, you know, barely getting out of his teenage years and getting to like go on the radio and talk crazy and play music. Right. So, you know, I ate that up. But what it did limit me from doing was like touring. I would use my vacation time to go on tours. Like, you know, I would wait strategically till like the summertime came. And then when the Vans Warped Tour would pop off, I would hop on that tour and hit a bunch of cities I ain't never been to before. And then I'd maybe save my Christmas vacation and like hit some other dates like in the Midwest and up north and whatnot. Cause like, yo, like when you get off the air on Saturday, like, yo, it's a wrap. Especially if you get off there at 10, unless you're taking like, you know, time off. And at that time, you know, the money wasn't flowing, you know, wasn't swimming in it like Scrooge McDuck. Right. So, you know, you kind of needed to count your coin and be everywhere you were supposed to be and, you know, and continue to build the brand. So it got to a point that once it was time to do morning radio, it freed me up a lot more to be able to like travel once I got off the air on Friday, you know? So like that gave me Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night sometimes, you know, depending on like how like early of a show it was, and then I can get back in time and do the radio. And now fast forward to 2023, and big ups to the pandemic. If nothing great came out of the pandemic, the ability to work remotely using the, you know, like strong, sturdy internet has really like, you know, saved the day. So I could really be anywhere in the world doing radio and still be on the air.
Man, I feel like, and then I don't know, maybe it's because I did it too. And there's a lot of people out there. I feel like radio people are just grinders, man. You go out there because you've had to work crazy hours. You've had to work behind the scenes. You've had to do it, not always for a bunch of money. You're just like, all right, next opportunity, I'm in. Wait, I got to do an interview at 2 a.m.? I'm in. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see that the more people I talk to. Radio, it just prepares you to get out there and grind.
Yeah, like I don't want to like, you know, discredit it by saying it's an entry level position in the world of entertainment. But if you come in the radio game and you play it well and you learn about every department and everything that could be done within those four walls, not just being on the air, like how does sales work with, you know, on air talent? How does production work to making the product sound better across the airwaves? It teaches you so many great things and it makes you appreciate more things like once everything starts to come together a little bit better and pop off.
Man, I hear it and I see it from so many different people. And doing this show, talking to people, it's like, yeah, man, you just figure out you got to work. All right. So
do you miss it?
Less. I miss it less now. Like I missed it for a while when I first left it. And you mm-hmm. You may remember when I went to a show called Chasing News, I came on with you guys on
yes,
the station. And I was pretty new to leaving it then. I missed the opportunity to do what we're doing now. You know, in kind of the longer form and talking, interact with people. But now that you get it, you know, I still get that opportunity and so do you. So you miss it less, I think. You know, is that kind of your same experience? I mean, you're still doing radio.
Well, once again, I'm like on week two of not doing radio. So like rolling over at 6 a.m. is like the equivalent to me of like waking up at 8 a.m. You know what I mean? Like not getting up at 4 is amazing. Like I get up, I work out. I get to make sure my kids' clothes match, you know, when they go to school, as opposed to like, you know, they coming home and I'd be like, yo, you let them go out in that. So to be there for all those cool little moments that I've missed out on all these years, because I've been doing morning radio for like, oh my goodness, almost 18 years. So there's a lot of things I didn't have the opportunity to participate in and be a part of. So it definitely feels weird and unique. And I know it's just temporary because like, I mean, I'm already getting other offers and I'm just trying to just not rush back into something because I really want the next thing I do has to be something that's like really true to my purpose and true to my brand. You know what I mean? Like, you know, creativity for me is the key and I want to be able to maximize my creativity with a company and an organization that completely understands the creative that they're dealing with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a different point. We talked to Sherry Shepherd, who you work with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She came on The Pulse with us. Iyanla Van Zandt came on The Pulse with us, and both of them shared similar stories. Like it was that journey to doing something that really represents you once you're past that point of, wait, you want to hire me?
Right.
Sometimes the initial is, wait, you gonna give me a show and my name's on it? And you don't look that deep into, do I really want my name on it?
You know, it definitely with the last situation, like it was just frustrating on many levels. However, my first 4 years in radio, I would wake up every day and just like, yo, like, I can't believe that this is real.
Right. They're paying me for this.
this is my life, you know? And I recognize the blessing that it is, but I also am aware of the hard work that I put in to maintain my competitive edge across the board. And that's one thing about me. Like, the second I get bored, I'm going to find weird things to do on the side that's going to, like, feed my passion. Like, you know, like, I didn't, like, decide to start boxing just because I wanted to. Like, I was bored, and I wanted to feel alive. And that's why I did that.
Man, I feel like we're kindred spirits. I did kickboxing for a while, you know, and got in the best shape of my life. And it was amazing how, and I don't know if you've done this too, but it was amazing how you started viewing life's challenges by rounds. Like, you're sitting in this meeting that's dragging on, and you're like, man, I can make it for another couple rounds. Like, I'm all right. I can get through this.
Builds discipline physically and mentally.
Yeah, I feel you. And congrats on that. So you did a whole boxing thing for it was a charity, get ready to go out there and box initially, right? Or did you do the boxing first and then compete in the charity stuff?
So, I mean, like, we're both from the city. So we fought before, unsanctioned. You know what I mean? Okay. So, you know, at this point in my life, you know, being a person of a certain age, I'm like, I wonder if I could still take a punch. And I was watching celebrity boxing. And I remember watching it years ago when it was on Fox, like back when like Todd Bridges fought Screech, or maybe it was right. Screech fought Horshack from Welcome Back, Carter. But like, I remember watching it back then thinking like, one day I'm going to do this. I don't know what day, but one day. So years went by, and then all of a sudden he brought it back. And I was watching some of those people. And I'm like, I think I'm as famous as some of these people. And I think I'm in better shape than my man right there. Let's give it a go. And I thought I was gonna fight like another DJ or another reality TV person. And initially I was. And then like 3 months in, that person pulled out. And I'm like, well, damn, who am I gonna fight now? And they're like, well, what about Kimbo Slice Jr.? And I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
he's a fighter, you know? But then I was like, you know what? Sure, let's go. Because it was a challenge. Yeah. And once again, I was bored. I feel like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon 1. You know, where like, I got nothing to lose. My wife is dead. My wife's alive though. But yeah, I got nothing to lose. And I'm willing to risk it all.
Let's go ahead and do it.
Let's just go. Let's fight on the lawn while the fire hydrant like rains on us. Let's go. You know, right. Like,
yeah. So that part.
Yeah. Like all that crazy stuff, just to feel alive and feel something and just rise to a new challenge. Because like, yo, when I'm not challenged, I'm going to find a challenge.
Dish Nation, you just said it's 12 years, right?
12, yeah, so so it's tricky because there was like a preseason, season 0.5 that like, you know, very few markets got a chance to see. Mm-hmm. So we was on for like 6 weeks one summer, and then there was like a long gap, and then the show really started. So technically, yeah, you can say that, like, you know, I've been involved with the show for 12 years, but we're getting ready to officially start season 12 in September, which is a beautiful thing, man, because, I mean, you don't get to see as many melanated faces as ours, you know, on a show that's not a rerun. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
usually you haven't seen as many black people on TV at one time since, like, Good Time season 1. You know what I mean?
Okay, fair enough. And 12 seasons... and I remember they like do test runs, and we do that here. I mean, it's a Fox station that I'm on, and you guys started on Fox. So I get that concept. So many people have come and gone. Like, the show continues, but people have come and gone. Surprise you, or you just kind of knew that you're what are you, the one or one of the few who's kind of made it through the whole thing? Like, the face of the show in a lot of ways now.
Me and Gary with the T of the R2-D2 and C-3PO of Dish Nation. Like, we're the only two that have been there from, like, the pilot episode up until now. To make it a more modern reference, if Kenan Thompson was one person, it's me and Gary with the T. Like, we've been there for, like, a while. Like, a long time. And am I surprised? Yeah, I am surprised. But I also, man, thank God, man. Because, listen, I would be in a weird space right now if it wasn't for, you know, for Dish Nation. You know what I'm saying? I would have probably had to like suffer through a few more months of a situation that I didn't feel like dealing with if I didn't have this as a failsafe to fall back on. And when I tell you, it's therapy for everybody involved, you know what I mean? Like, everybody that's ever you know, been a part of Dish Nation. Like, yo, when they come, like, you know, no matter what happened before they came in the studio, they just, their eyes just bright up because we truly are a family in there and we really do have fun. So it's a gift and a curse. It's a paycheck, but it's also like a fun session where you get to talk crap. You know, like you may not have class with your homies in school, but y'all got the same lunch.
Yeah.
That's Dish Nation.
So y'all, you answered my next question, but I was going to ask, because I ask people this all the time. Y'all are really that cool. Because I'm not sure that you could do a show like that if you really didn't, you know, have fun and interact with the people and get along with them. Because it requires just reaction. But right. You all are really that cool?
No, we really truly are that cool. There ain't no faking the funk. And even the people who are no longer affiliated with the show, I was cool with most of those people too. Like, you know, like the Dallas crew, like JC, Jenna, Kelly Raspberry, Big Al. On the West Coast side of things, like my man Chewy Martinez, we still be on each other's line all the time. And Chewy still does stuff and contributes to the show like remotely from LA from time to time. But, you know, that, man, it's a family, man. It's almost like a gang that you don't got to get jumped in or out of.
Yeah, best kind of gang.
Best kind of gang. Yeah. More like an organization.
So a couple different things. A bunch of stuff you've been a part of. We know, like, on this show, because Dish Nation actually comes on right before, right after the Pulse. On Fox 29 in Philadelphia, and then nationally doing stuff also. But you've done acting, Netflix movies, all kinds of stuff. Archer, like, what's up now, man? Movies, TV, like, what's the next step? And are you enjoying all that?
I'm enjoying every aspect of it, man. Like, you know, like anytime you get to act and like shed a layer of yourself and be somebody new on camera, which, to be completely transparent, I haven't got to do much, because usually when I act, I'm playing a variant version of myself.
Right.
But I'm like currently taking acting classes and, you know, like preparing myself to do more seasoned and media roles. That's not me playing radio DJ, party planner, interviewer at the radio station. And then even with the voice acting, you know, Archer just came from a, you know, like strong manifestation. I literally said one day, I want to be on Archer. And then when I went to Comic-Con, I like was standing next to the person who cast for Archer, and he heard me asking somebody like about some food somewhere. And he's like, yo, are you head cracked for the radio? And I'm like, yes, I am. He's like, yo, I'm the caster for Archer. You ever thought about being on the show? And I'm like,
yeah.
You know, it was like, yo, you couldn't make this stuff up. So I definitely want to do more of that, because like when you think about amazing voices in like, you know, animation and things like that, like there's people who you like, you know, used to watch in front of the TV that you don't see in front of it that much anymore, that are just killing it behind the scenes. People like Cree Summer from A Different World, even James Avery, who like was, you know, Uncle Phil on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That probably was the voice of Shredder.
Yeah.
You know, among other things. So I want to, you know, occupy that world too, because, you know, it's fun work. It's easy work. It's work that pays residuals. Also, there's the music component, which, you know, I use music as a healing component for me. And, you know, I always tell people that I hope my music finds you in the lowest point in your life. So when it helps you feel better, you think about the times that were bad. Once they're better, and you're like, yo, cracked music got me through that. The same way music has gotten me through tough times. So those are my biggest things that I'm really like, you know, like passionate about right now. My music, you know, creativity within that. And also like, you know, just expanding my wings in the acting field.
Man, you're a pretty young guy to have 20 years in anything, like 20 years in the industry. But you also have been in it long enough to see the industry change. So it's interesting. You talked about earlier in the discussion, people like us not getting these types of opportunities previously. Mm-hmm. And you kind of see these doors opening. Have you noticed that? Because you're talking about voice acting. You're talking about acting. You're talking about TV shows. You're talking about radio shows. Yeah, and all of those things are a reality that perhaps when you got into the industry, certainly when I did, was less likely to happen.
You know, it's interesting. So radio is a very shrinking industry because like every company is trying to save money.
Right.
So what you're seeing a lot happen is a lot more syndication. You know, where typically it would be like, all right, we'll do a syndicated morning show. Now they're syndicating afternoons. Now they're syndicating the night shows. Now they're syndicating the weekend shows. I even seen them using AI to voice day parts on certain stations. So that window is really starting to get tight. And that scares me because I feel like, you know, okay, cool. You can get robots to do certain things and you can get one voice to rule half the country. However, sometimes people in certain cities want people that really know their experiences to really check in with them. Philly is a very special place. And, you know, you need Philly voices. Or like, you know, at least people to understand the struggle of the East Coast speaking for the city of Philly. You know what I mean? Same thing with a Miami, a Chicago, a New York, a Baltimore. Like these places are very specific. And I think, you know, you can't AI that. You can't just put a big shiny name in front of that sometimes and expect it to pop off, because at the end of the day, people want to, you know, hear people that they can identify with, I feel. That's one thing I've seen major within that aspect of the business.
Well, and I agree with that. I think the people who do what you do and what you guys do will always be okay, because you can't just, like right now they computer generate what music plays at what time and what, and so they all sound the same except for the personalities, mm-hmm. you know, except for the people who are allowed the opportunity to actually be a personality, not just, you know, introducing the song, but expressing who they are. You know, and still being able to be unique. So I think, I hope, like that type of thing is not as much of a dying industry. But you're right. They'll put it on 50 stations.
Yeah, but that varies from city to city. There's so many shows sometimes. Because I'm a person, when I do turn the radio on, I don't even want to hear the song, man. I just want to hear the jock talking to me. I want to know what they're excited about. I want to know what they watched on TV last night. Do you have kids? Tell me more. You know, that sort of thing. And a lot of, you know, times, a lot of programmers be on such the music is the star to where like we're just flying past certain things and you don't even get a chance to really learn much about the midday jock or the afternoon jock, like, or what they're into, what they like, you know what I mean? So that aspect, it always frustrated me, is particularly about urban radio too, because we have so unique stories to tell and we're each other's therapist, you know? Like, you know, like I used to listen to Wendy Williams in the afternoon on BLS back when she was in New York. She would get to talk as long as she wanted by herself. Now, granted, Wendy Williams is a pro and has been doing this for a long time, but there was a therapy that came with listening to Wendy Williams. Like, you know, you talk back to the radio to her, like she's going to respond.
That part, though, and I'm curious and kind of tying it into Dish Nation and, you know, I don't know, as probing as we will get, that part is fun. But that part also comes with a lot of responsibility, because the stuff that you guys do, the stuff that radio does, on to some extent, the stuff that we do here, that's you. So if you say something that somebody doesn't like, they're upset with you. If you say something that is challenging somebody, you know, they didn't dislike the song, they dislike you. And when you're doing that kind of stuff, you know, and Dish Nation does it, talking about celebrity situations or, you know, occasionally political situations. Is that ever hard? Because, you know, you might be at the club or whatever with the same people you were talking about on the show.
It's tough sometimes, because like sometimes you'll do stories about people who are your friends or people that you have some sort of a relationship and rapport with. Right. Mm-hmm. So that component is tough, because, you know, if it was somebody that you didn't have a relationship or some sort of rapport with, you lean all the way in on the story, be like, yo, that person's a trash individual and I hope their Christmas is ruined because of it. Right. But then like somebody, you knew, does the exact same thing, you're a little bit quiet, or you're speaking at a 3 instead of an 8. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that component is difficult, because people will always hear maybe the less flattering things you say about them and none of the positive things that you've ever said about that person in the past. Like, you know, like I did get confronted once, but they had the wrong person.
Okay. Right.
It was somebody else that said whatever it was. It wasn't me.
Right. Yeah. Context is lost when people are gossiping or share story. I heard Headcrack say that so-and-so, but don't explain why, you know, or they said, no, that's my man, but, you know, they leave out all the part that kind of smooths it out.
I mean, you see it in social media all the time. There's so many times where I'll see a triggering post and then I'll be like, wow, that was crazy. But then you see a little bit more of what was preceding the post and a little bit what came after, where they kind of like elaborated a little bit more. Like, you know, and some of these people know what they're doing with the clickbait and whatnot.
Yeah, I think another thing that I really like about it is you also get the chance to kind of spread good news and things that may not always get that level of exposure. I was looking at the website earlier, you know, Tyler Perry buying homes for the homeless, you know, that kind of stuff you guys get to dwell on and spend more time on than perhaps a, you know, a quick run through in a news show.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes Dish Nation so special. Like, we're not a beat 'em up kind of show. We're not like, hey, we saw such and such, you know, doing this, that, and the third. I mean, there's a smidge of that, but, like, you know, our whole thing is to, like, make you laugh and, you know, take your mind off of whatever terrible things you maybe had to wrestle and twirl with, you know, throughout the day. So it's never really 100% about the slander. Like, we do like to highlight, you know, the great things that, you know, that people do. And also, you know, just a little bit of shade, just a little bit of shade, just enough to keep it interesting, you know?
You got to keep it interesting. You got to keep people entertained. You got to do all that. Couple more things, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up. Half an hour goes by fast, man. I appreciate you taking
I appreciate the time. Brother.
You got music always coming out. But it's some just came out, right?
Yes, sir.
Just released, so, Mona Lisa.
Yeah, Mona Lisa Scars, man. And, you know, the crazy thing, the timing is, and I, man, God planned this, not me, but it is International Women's Month. And Mona Lisa Scars is pretty much a celebration of just women in general. You know what I mean? There's a lot of women who look at themselves in the mirror sometimes from a day to day, and they feel like, oh, man, this ain't right. My nose too wide. Or, like, you know, I need to go to some country I can't really pronounce to get this surgery and that surgery. When you're really just truly beautiful the way you are, man, like, you know, our flaws, I think that's what makes us great. You know, we strive for perfection, but perfection is already here. You know what I'm saying? And it is you. And whatever form, size, shape, or whatever you may be in, shade, there is somebody who is going to love you the way you are, but it all begins with you loving yourself and just, you know, embracing that. So that was really just like, you know, like my hug to women around the world. You know, I want them to feel that and know it's genuine. I didn't do it just to, like, you know, like try to get a look or whatever. I did it because it was from my heart. And even me on that record, my voice was flawed that day. We recorded it a couple years ago at South by Southwest. And whenever I go to Texas, like, I don't know what kind of tree is out there, but my ears, nose, and throat hate it. So my voice was just, like, super raspy, like a slightly younger tone Loke. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I'll record this, leave it as the demo, and I'm going to record it better when I get home and my voice is better. But I was like, you know what? It was the flaw in my voice that day that made the record fly. And I'm like, you know what? Chef's kiss. That is, like, encompasses the whole record. Like, you know, we all got flaws. Let's celebrate the flaws.
Mona Lisa's Scars, and it's available.
Yes, sir.
People can go ahead and get it.
Wherever you're stealing your music from.
We
end, no one's paying.
Right, let's go ahead and can we edit that out? We end the Pulse with the concept of use your voice for good. It's the whole foundation of the show. We always get there after all of this discussion that we may have in various topics. What does use your voice for good mean to you?
For me, it's like, you know, like, hey, you could use your voice to, like, ask for the things you want personally, or you can use your voice to instill change within, like, the world around you. You know what I mean? Some of the things that I'm working on behind the scenes is me planting seeds that will hopefully benefit the next generation and the generation after that. You know, everybody's handed a microphone. What you'll say into it will predicate the things that you'll be remembered for. So, you know, at the end of the day, when people think about Headcrack, you know, I want them to think of me as a fun person, but I also want them to think of me as a person who really thought about others and who really wanted to, like, you know, change the environment of the world around them, because, you know, it was my environment that made me. However, I want to make an easier path, you know, for the generations to come, so we can, you know, cut through the nonsense and just, you know, reach that higher state of being. Sooner than later, you know what I mean? So that's what I want to do.
Man, I appreciate you. I wish you continued success. I know things are going to continue to grow. You let us know the next, you're not ready to announce the next big thing, but when you are, you got a home here at the Pulse. Come on in and we'll talk about it.
Thank you so much, Billy. I'm building the next big thing. Same way they was building a Death Star in Revenge of the Jedi, except my Death Star won't get blown up. There's no, like, you know, there's no structural flaws or anything. Like, the next thing is going to really, like, you know, be engineered and designed to help raise the consciousness of the people, but also celebrate creativity and give us all something to, like, you know, huddle around the radio for again, man. So I'm looking forward to it, brother.
Until then, we will see you online, on social, on TV, on Dish Nation, and we will talk again soon.
God bless.
All right, man. You have a good one. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Pulse today with Head Crack. I'm sure he's familiar to you from Dish Nation, his hip-hop career, his radio show, and so much more. I'm glad he spent some time with us sharing his experiences, the steps that are next in his life, and we will continue to look forward to hearing from him. Hit subscribe right here, right like upper left corner somewhere. Hit subscribe so that you get a notification every time a new episode of The Pulse comes out. I also encourage you to go on YouTube, search The Pulse with Bill Anderson. There's so many great episodes that you may not have gotten a chance to listen to that I am sure you will enjoy. If you're in Philly, you can check us out on Fox 29. You can check out the TV show nationally on Fox Soul. And you can always hit me up on social media. But remember, use your voice for good when you do that on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.